it's almost like the thing that terrifies you the most is where all the gold is in many respects. Trust me, I experience fear all the time. The question is whether you're going to bust through it or give into it. And my experience is when you bust through, there's really incredible things on the other side. Hi, I'm Catherine Belinga, and I'm a P&G alumna.
Great companies are all about the people. Good people become great leaders, mentors for work and life.
Welcome to Learnings from Leaders, the P&G Alumni Podcast.
I'm Ruman Segal, recovering marketer.
And I'm Ida Abdalkhani, a chief catalyzer. Ruman and I both got our start at P&G, the Procter & Gamble company, where we had the opportunity to work with some amazing people. And as you may know, many leaders across industries got their start at P&G. In this series, through conversations with fellow P&G alums, we hope to go deeper with the leaders you already know but want to know more about.
It's kind of like bringing a microphone to a cup of coffee.
On today's show, we're talking to P&G alumni leader Catherine Belinga, co-founder and CEO of Zirkova. It was a great conversation about creating moments that unite, not allowing fear to guide our decisions, and creating a life by design versus default. Here's a quick bio. Catherine Belinga is the co-founder and CEO of Zirkova, an award-winning ultra-premium vodka brand. She is a Ukrainian-Canadian who first pursued a career with P&G in product supply. But after the fall of the Soviet Union, she left P&G and moved to a newly independent Ukraine. This is where she developed her love for the origins and birthplace of vodka and was compelled to share this remarkable story of women master distillers, classical methods, and extraordinary spirits. Zirkova is now the top-selling vodka produced in Ukraine, sold in Canada. More than just a brand, Catherine's vision for Zirkova is a reflection of her own beliefs, of standing for the freedom to be and celebrate who you are, to toast and acknowledge others, and to create special moments that bring people together so that everyone feels like they are part of one table. What I love about our conversation is Catherine's unique perspective that we can all be creators versus solely consumers. I think many of us can relate to her feeling that there is no way she could have imagined where she would end up, but that her path is also beautifully aligned. And that oftentimes what terrifies us the most, if we can work through it, is where some of the most wonderful things in life happen. So let's dive in. We hope you will enjoy our conversation with Catherine Belinga. Today, we're talking to Catherine Belinga, co-founder and CEO of Zirkova, an award-winning brand that is an ultra-premium vodka. She graduated as a systems design engineer from the University of Waterloo and first pursued a career with P&G Product Supply, where she worked in the areas of reliability improvement, startup engineering, and production management. After the fall of the Soviet Union, she boldly left her corporate life and moved to a newly independent Ukraine, her family's ancestral homeland. Choosing an entrepreneurial path, she co-founded EBS, a management and consulting firm with a 25-year legacy of empowering market leaders. In Ukraine, she discovered the origins and birthplace of vodka and was compelled to share this remarkable story of women master distillers, classical methods, and extraordinary spirits. An innovative woman in spirits under Ms. Belinga's leadership, Zirkova launched Zirkova One and Together Ultra Premium Vodka is the top-selling vodka produced in the Ukraine that is sold in Canada. Zirkova is the first brand to create two unique ultra-premium vodkas specially formulated to be the best at the two ways people enjoy vodka. Zirkova One for drinking straight or in martinis, and Zirkova Together, which makes noticeably better tasting cocktails. Zirkova has been featured at Ukraine House Davos, celebrating the spirit of Ukraine, which takes place during the week of the World Economic Forum. More than just a brand, Catherine's vision for Zirkova is a reflection of her own beliefs, of standing for the freedom to be and celebrate who you are, to toast and acknowledge others, and to create special moments that bring people closer together. When Ukraine was invaded, all production in Ukraine stopped, and the country and her company faced an existential threat. She developed and launched Zirkova Unity, produced in Canada, taking it from concept to shelf in less than 4 months, with profits going to help Ukraine. Catherine's passion doesn't end at spirits. Zirkova Vodka has raised over $500,000 for various humanitarian and charitable organizations, including hospital foundations, ambulances for Ukraine project, Halton Children's Aid Society, Kiev Pride, Canada Ukraine Foundation, and many other charities in the U.S., Canada, and Ukraine. The company has donated profits from sales towards Ukrainian humanitarian appeal funds. She is a sought-after speaker and frequent commentator in the media about entrepreneurship, business, and Ukraine, including BBC, CTV, CBC, Financial Post, and The Globe and Mail. Catherine is married to another PNG alum, John Valenga, and resides in Oakville, Canada, with their two children. So, Catherine, there is so much in there. It's an amazing career journey. We've got a lot to talk about today. But first, who were you before you started Amazing Career Journey?
Thank you so much for having me on. So I was a child born into a very strong family. My grandparents were from Ukraine. They had gone through, you know, they were all survivors of Holodomor, Stalin's genocide, of Nazi occupation, World War II, displacement, and immigration to Canada. So this is a very important part of who I am. When you're, you know, I'm first generation Canadian, and at the same time, very proud of my Ukrainian roots. So we were raised to know Ukrainian. We were raised to know our culture. And remember, this was the time of the Soviet Union. So in many respects, my grandparents were completely cut off from their family. There was no connection. I mean, my grandmother didn't see her mother for almost 30 years. So for my grandparents, for our parents, it was all about family and family gatherings, bringing the extended family together for all kinds of occasions, everybody around one table. And very important to know our roots, where we came from, to preserve our culture. So I was very much a kid that was almost like Canadian by day, you know, going to school, learning, being part of, you know, Canadian culture, growing up in Canada, but then having this Ukrainian life where, you know, going to Ukrainian school on Saturdays, going to Ukrainian church, you know, learning to play the bandura, the Ukrainian national instrument, you know, this kind of thing. There was a lot of responsibility around just preserving the culture. So we felt like, you know, Ukraine was disappearing within the Soviet Union, and we had to keep those traditions and language and heritage and culture alive.
So something you said in there just really hit home with me because of my own dual identity. You know, you said Canadian by day, but Ukraine in your home life, right? All of the culture, the language, right? All of that that you were experiencing in your home life, but then kind of growing up in a culture that was different than that. I know for me personally, that has really set the foundation for my entire life, because for me, I grew up trying to be, I think, more American because of the environment that I was in. I was one of the only, you know, brown people in my school. And so I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be American, but at home, everything was Persian, right? The food that I ate and the language that we spoke and the music that we listened to. So there was this duality. And because of that, I know for myself personally, this idea of being understood, trying to be understood myself, but also understanding others and helping them be understood is something that drives really everything that I do in life. It's why I'm in the career that I'm in, why I do things like the podcast, right? Why we do consumer research at my business, my ability to engage. It just affects every aspect of my life. So I'm interested for you, you know, going back to how you were raised in that duality, how do you think that's affected your career choices and your journey, or has it?
Oh my gosh. I'm such a believer that you can actually connect the dots going back, and that so much of who you are truly as a person, you can see in the child that you were, the young person that you
Absolutely.
Are, you know? So if we went back, we would see a young girl that family was everything. I wore a back brace, so I was very almost self-conscious. I had scoliosis and I wore a back brace for 7 years. So for me, looking forward to those times when everybody was gathered around the table, I mean, Christmas, birthdays, celebrations, and that toasting that was modeled, you know, the art of toasting, the art of acknowledgement, the art of creating those special moments. And when I look at what I do today, I mean, we created a vodka brand, but it's not about vodka for me. It's about connection, family, the magic that happens around the table. It's about toasting and creating moments that and experiences that unite and bring us together. It's no accident that I do what I do because, you know, that's really kind of my vision for the world. And I have a special understanding of being sort of the underdog and being somebody that felt like she didn't belong or she wasn't like everybody else. So, you know, and I saw that model because my family, my grandfather, he would always invite, like, if there was a family that moved to the community, he would invite them to join us. Mm. Or if there's like a neighbor that, you know, the next thing you know, like they're at the table.
Right.
And it was one table. Everybody's around one table.
I love that.
I love that. I love creating that.
I love that idea of it's one table, right? Because you can certainly invite people and have the look of being inclusive, right? But the idea of it truly being one table, not separate tables, right? I think is so insightful into how you live your life and also how you're running your business. Now, I am interested in though, because you know, vodka is very unique, especially for a female, right? To be in that industry, much less creating the brand, right? Being an entrepreneur in the industry. So how did you discover what you were good at along the way? Because we know, you know, as you said, it's much more, it's not just about vodka, right? It's about connecting people. It's about bringing people together. It's about creating experiences. It's about toasting life in the moments that matter. So in your journey, were there things along the way? Because, you know, obviously you started at P&G, right? This is a P&G alumni podcast that we have. So you started your career in corporate. Did you have things along the way that kind of helped you understand that you wanted to be an entrepreneur or maybe anything about like spirits and liquors? Or is it something that you just came to, you know, or had an epiphany about along the way?
Oh my goodness. So I love that quote, Steve Jobs, about connecting. You can only connect the dots looking backwards.
Mm.
And there were no dots absolutely in, like, there was no way that I could ever have imagined where I would end up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my plan was to work at Procter & Gamble, to rise up through the ranks, to, you know, have postings in other countries. And, you know, I loved manufacturing. So it was all about that. And so I had no idea where I would end up. And I think that's something that's really important because what I've come to realize is that we spend so much time planning our lives. How is it going to work out? We spend very little time thinking about things like, what do we want? What would I love? What am I passionate about? You know, what am I interested in? So for me, when I connect the dots, it makes sense that, you know, we couldn't have predicted the fall of the Soviet Union. That changed my life. You know, when Ukraine became independent and I decided that I wanted to be part of the birth of a nation. I wanted to work on that. I'll take it actually back a little bit to Procter & Gamble because, you know, when I joined Procter & Gamble, it was a time, you know, our goal was to take the oldest and first production site outside of the US, the first one built in Canada, and to turn it into a high-performing work system with no injection of capital, you know, so it was all through people, organization and systems.
Right.
And it was this amazing, like 5-year journey. And I was there from beginning to end. Now, Ukraine becomes independent. I make a decision. I'm moving to Ukraine within 6 months. I made the decision in 1996. I get a call, you know, we're looking for a startup engineer. And imagine, I moved to the city that my parents were from.
It's a homecoming in a way.
Yeah. And the work that I did was the work I did in Ukraine was around transforming Soviet era companies and industrial companies into high performance leaders and market leaders through organization, people, systems. So, you know, this is like, it's all sort of connected. And then along the way,
right,
one of our clients is in the alcohol beverage industry. We decide to move back to Canada. They ask us if we can help them bring their beers to Canada. I said, yes. I had no idea about that industry, you know, and then one of the largest buyers of alcohol in the world asked us to find them a vodka from Ukraine. I said, yes. And that's when we discovered the birthplace of vodka itself. So I guess what I've learned is, you know, doors will open. And if you know who you are and what you're about, just have the courage to say yes without knowing how it's all going to work out.
I love that.
That's a big one for me. That's a big one for me.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, I think this idea, though, of having the courage to say yes without knowing an outcome is something that's either innate to people, right? Like some people are just, I think, kind of genetically made to be courageous and not have too much fear. Or it's a learned behavior, right? To live with fear, to walk side and side with fear, but not let it actually really direct your decisions, right? So for you, do you think it's innate? Was it something that you learned?
I would actually say that it's something that I learned more than innate. And I think it's almost like the thing that terrifies you the most is like where all the gold is in many respects. You know, the difficult conversations are the ones that are the perfect ones to have. You know, if fundamentally everything is for our growth, like this is why I think when you have a goal, when you know what you want, like it's not really like the outcome, not how it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. But when you know what you want and then opportunities present themselves, trust me, you know, I experience fear all the time. You know, the question is whether you're going to bust through it or give into it. And my experience is when you bust through, there's really incredible things on the other side. And then you just learn, oh, okay, like this is normal. Fear, like fear is an indicator of I'm doing something that's I haven't done before. I don't know how uncertain. I don't know how it's going to work out, but this is the place that I need to go and bust through. This is exactly the perfect place for me to be.
That hits home with me so much because I've recently come to this idea that oftentimes the things that we fear the most, the universe finds a way to show us how silly that fear was. You know, it's like everything in a way, you know, can kind of be rigged in our favor to show us that our fears are really just in our head, right? And I wouldn't call it meaningless because I think our fears can help us make decisions and can drive us, but there's an aspect to it with fear that I think if we can embrace it, like I mentioned earlier, this idea of like trying to walk hand in hand with it, it's not about in my opinion, not about being fearless, right? And saying we don't have fear, but saying, okay, I can live hand in hand with this fear and not let it change my decisions or make my decisions for me. And just know that that's going to be a part of the process, but have faith that things can work out. Like you said, the thing that terrifies you the most is where all the gold is. And so it's really actually embracing the fear and saying, I'm going to proceed anyways, despite the fear.
Oh my gosh, I love that. And in fact, I read this book by Elizabeth Gilbert.
Oh, I love Elizabeth Gilbert. Yes.
Right?
Yes. And, oh, I teach
do
that
book. You remember where she talked about fear, like yeah. being on the road trip, and it's like, listen, you can be in the passenger seat.
Yes.
You can be in the back. I feel like you're always with me, but you don't get to drive the car. You don't get yes. to make the decisions. And so I love what you're saying about, you know, embracing it and expecting that it's going to show up. And in fact, the more you sort of grow and go for it, the more it's going to show up.
Yes.
So just like expect it to be part of the journey, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Oh, you brought it back to Big Magic. I love that book. It's such a good one. Well, okay. So we've been talking a little bit about how you kind of got to where you were in the vodka business. But I'm also wondering, you know, there's lots of times, I think, in our careers where there's an inflection point. Did you have something like that? I mean, you've kind of taken us through the journey of how you got to being in the industry and how the dots ended up aligning, right? You couldn't have predicted that, but all your different experiences put you on a path towards this. Was there, though, a critical inflection point for you?
Yes. Yes. And it was, okay, so let's go back to that moment when I moved to Ukraine.
1996, baby. We're going back to 96.
Honestly, like, if I think about my life, that was the biggest inflection point. And it came from a decision. And I love that W.H. Murray quote, the one on commitment. Like, when you commit, providence moves and all manner of assistance comes your way. And it's what you were saying about, you know, the universe aligning.
Yes.
And you can't even imagine the incredible, extraordinary things that can happen. But it really starts with a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had talked about, oh, I want to move to Ukraine. You know, my twin sister's in Ukraine. I want to be with her. I talked that way for 5 years. Nothing happened.
Mm.
The moment I committed, the moment I said, I want to move to Ukraine. I want to move by this date. And my husband and I spoke about it. We committed and aligned on that. Within a week, we had an opportunity. Within a week.
Wow.
And for me, that inflection point, looking back, I had never wanted to go on an entrepreneurial journey. That wasn't my plan. That wasn't like something I aspired to do. There weren't a lot of entrepreneurs
mm-hmm.
in our family. You know, I'm an engineer. You know, my father, you know, had a career in a company. That's sort of what I aspired to do. And there was another part of it, which was I wanted this idea that the inflection for me was going from sort of a life by default
mm-hmm.
to going to a life by design.
Oh, wow. I love that.
Do you know where it was like there was a path that I was supposed to take that was like the thing that, you know, let's say I was raised to do kind of thing
mm-hmm.
or the expectations of how a career unfolds. But then I decided to shift that.
Mm-hmm.
And almost become the designer of my life.
I absolutely love that. I always say, don't live the life you're given, live the life you imagine.
Oh, I love that.
And very similar, I think, to what you're saying, the sentiment of don't live life by default, but live your life by design, right? We can create much more than maybe what we're given or what people expect of us, right? Because for you, like in your story, right? Growing up in Canada, I think if you lived your life by default, most would not expect you to ever move back to the Ukraine, right? You have a great life in Canada. Why would you move back? Why would you change the life that you were given? But you created your life by design. And now, you know, an award-winning vodka brand that you've created and an entrepreneur. But I wonder if, you know, that it sounds like a great journey, right? But I know that some of the greatest journeys come from overcoming and learning from failures. So do you have a time when something didn't work out the way you thought that it would, and that really shaped how you approached your brand or how you approached becoming an entrepreneur?
So just about everything. Just about everything. Yes.
Just about everything was a failure, or you learned from just about everything?
Both. Both. And I mean, this is where, like, it's really not about failure. It's about you're going to fail.
Right.
It's your relationship to failure and how quickly you pick yourself up and learn from it and adjust and move on. You know, and I want to go back to something you said about creating, because I think this is so, I'm so inspired by everything around me. Like, think about it. When you look around this world in any direction, you see the results of people's creations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the phone that you're speaking on, the computer, the car that you're driving, like, somebody envisioned it, imagined it, saw it, created it, you know, and brought it into this world. And so I think this is, like, I tell my kids all the time, like, don't just be a consumer, like, be a creator. Like, you are a powerful creator. What is it that you want to create? And I think that that's the most important thing that I've learned from failures is, you know, I've got this vision of, you know, what I want to create. And it's keep having that faith and belief and keeping that vision alive when you're so far from it so much of the time, right? You know, especially if you've got a big vision.
Yeah.
So I think that's been the toughest thing. I would say that's the thing that I maybe have failed at, is just the belief and then learning to strengthen it and have the confidence that you can get there, you know, that you can get there.
Well, yeah, what I love about that, you said, you know, don't just be a consumer, be a creator. I really believe in this idea that there are two types of people in the world, energy absorbers and energy creators. And I choose to be a creator. I think you choose to be a creator. And not that there's anything wrong with not being a creator, right? And being an absorber, but it definitely, I think, changes our interactions with the world. It changes how we live life, like you said, like a life by design, when we choose to be the creator and not the absorber. So I think there's a lot of power in that mindset, you know, making that decision of how you want to live your life. I'm wondering, because you mentioned that you tell your children that, you know, you have two kids, and I think it's so wonderful when kids can see their parents doing something that isn't cookie cutter, right? Like, you kind of broke the mold and you've become an entrepreneur. And on top of that, you're an entrepreneur in a space that is dominated by men. What do you think your kids would say they've learned from you?
I would say they've learned that anything is possible and to never give up. We often say at home, like, it is possible, make it happen, you know, and all this stuff. They've seen, like, I'm a very strong troubleshooter and I'm a very strong problem solver and I'm very persistent. Mm-hmm. So I think that my kids would see me modeling, like, barrier or someone saying, no, this isn't possible, I'm going to overcome it, you know, or I'm going to show you that it is possible. Like, we're going to make this happen. And so there's, like, a lot of really extraordinary stories in our family about, you know, so many moments like that where they're just like, Mom, I can't believe that you did that. You know? But on the other hand, they've also seen the entrepreneurial path. They've seen the sort of stresses and the 24/7 nature of this life. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know if it's something that they will choose. Just, it's not for everybody.
Oh, yeah. It takes a special breed to be an entrepreneur.
Yes.
That's
yes,
for sure.
Exactly.
That's for sure. But I'm going to actually send you a picture. I'm going to text you a picture. I have a neon sign. You were talking about possible. I have a neon sign that says impossible, but only the possible part lights up. Because the idea, like, if you look at the word, if you look at the word, it actually says, I'm possible.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So yeah, I just love that sentiment and that your children are learning that from you. Related to that, if you had a time machine, what advice would you give your younger self?
I would tell myself not to worry so much and don't think that you have to have figured out your whole life. You know, I was so worried when I was in engineering. I was so worried about, like, how would my life turn out and how would it all happen? And, you know, almost like planning my life and really stressed out and worried kind of. And I wish I could go back and tell that young woman, don't worry, like, let it go. Enjoy. Your life's, everything's going to work out for you. And I think that, like, for everybody, it's like, you don't have to figure out what the rest of your life is going to look like when you're 19 and 20 and 25. Like, it's not like that, you know?
Right.
Don't put so much pressure on yourself. That's what I would tell that young woman.
Was there a particular time you came to that realization? Or is it just something that's evolved over time where you've learned to not worry as much and to just kind of trust the journey and the process?
I think that we don't learn enough about respecting and listening to our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not something that we learn. And it's something that I've leaned into more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I really look back at the most extraordinary outcomes and results in my life, it has been at a time when I've been very centered, connected, confident with who I am, trusting myself, making a decision quickly, and acting on those kind of inspired thoughts and intuition. And I think that that's something that we don't teach.
Yep.
You don't learn about that at all. And it's only by maybe seeing it modeled or developing it as you grow older. I wish we were raised that way. I wish we raised children that way, you know?
Yes. Yes. The world would be such a different place, I think, if these things started at a much younger age, these types of learnings.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are getting to the end of our time together. It's gone so fast. I wish we had more time because there's so many more things I want to ask you. But I want to ask you a few fun questions, things that people might not know about you. Just rapid fire, like the first thing that comes to mind for you. What is something about you that surprises people?
That I'm an identical twin and my parents had no idea that they were having twins.
What? So they just, like, they thought they were going in for one and two came out?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a surprise.
So imagine I'm at this fundraiser for Ukraine in London, Ontario, and I've never told that story, but I told that story publicly. There were 300 people there. A woman comes up to me and she says, I am an OBGYN at this hospital, and we all know your story. And in fact, this story has been passed down to every hospital in this area over the last 50 years because it's such a miracle and it has never happened again. So I didn't even know that, but you know, so how wild is that?
That is wild. And then, and where does your sister live? She's in Ukraine.
So my sister moved 30 years ago to Ukraine.
Okay. All right. And so she's still there. Well, I know twins, you know, they say that you guys have that sixth sense. Like, do you feel that? Do you, like, even with her being over in Ukraine, you guys being countries apart, do you feel that sometimes? Like, you can understand what she's feeling or going through?
I would say we're totally connected, but it's not like I feel her.
Gotcha.
What she's going through. It's more around, I'll be thinking of her and then she'll call, you know, something like that, right? Or, or it'll, you know, a message will pop up.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I've always thought it'd be so fun to have a twin.
You know what? It really is. It's like a friend for life, you know?
Yes.
But there's also amazing. The downsides, right? Because everybody compares you and, you know, there's some downsides too.
Did you guys ever try the dating thing? Like going out with somebody? Like,
do you know what? I did that with my husband.
Oh, no way.
When we were dating and Lena showed up and he basically had never met her and he said, "Hi, you must be Lena." He just didn't fall for it at all. Okay, but
yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Okay. If you had infinite resources to go do or learn any one thing, what would it be?
I would do something completely different, like acting. First of all, go to one of those like performance acting drama camps or something like that, or stand-up comedy, or, you know, like just completely, something completely different.
Okay. And what's one new place you want to go?
I'd love to go to Australia, New Zealand. I've never been.
Same. That's at the top of my list. Yeah. It keeps evading me. I've had plans to go twice and something comes up and I have to cancel. So that is at the top of my list. Okay. Final question. What is one piece of advice or perhaps a challenge you'd give to the next generation?
My advice is to really focus on who are you going to be? And what legacy and impact do you want to make in this world? And the world needs you. The world needs your gifts. The world needs your unique talents. And so it's really about how are you going to discover that and bring your greatness to the world? Shine your light, because we need that. We need that in every area. And I really believe that right now we're at an inflection point. Like, we are going to look back and we're either going to see that we united and came together and were able to solve the greatest challenges of our time, or we're going to see that we sort of descended into darkness. And so I really think it comes down to individuals and bringing their unique gifts to the situation. I'm inspired by you, because I really think that to solve these challenges, it's going to require leadership, and it's going to require diverse leaders and listening, and, you know, the rise of women's leadership in places where it doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. And hearing all kinds of diverse voices. So how do we bring everyone to the table and come together? And that's going to take people that can do that.
Absolutely. No, I love that. And thank you for that. I think it's an inspiring way for us to kind of close out our conversation today. This idea of the next generation thinking about and leaving their own unique mark and legacy, thinking about the challenges, as you mentioned, and how they can rise to that challenge, especially as women and diverse voices and being leaders. So, Catherine, thank you so much for sharing part of your journey with us today and your learnings. It's been such a pleasure to have you on our Learnings from Leaders podcast.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. I have had a blast speaking with you, so I appreciate it.
And that's our show. Like what you heard? Please subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcasting platform. For show notes about this episode, links to things mentioned, or requests for sponsorship, visit pgalums.com/podcast or email pgalumpod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Learnings from Leaders is a production of the P&G Alumni Network, a global nonprofit founded by former P&Gers committed to community, enrichment, and philanthropy. With more than 45,000 registered members worldwide, the network connects alums through global conferences, local chapters, industry events, and online content. Our nonprofit foundation supports economic empowerment in communities around the world. To find out more, visit pgalums.com.
That's it for this week. I've been Ida Abdalkhani.
And I'm still Raman Segal. Thanks for joining Learnings from Leaders, the P&G Alumni Podcast. We'll see you next time.